He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as Ken Pendergraft. And he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. Every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
And it is a rainy day out there in Wyoming, at least here in southern Wyoming. So Just Blame Joey Live is going to bring you some rainy day tunes while we're rocking through our morning. Make sure you're getting that cup of coffee filled up. Grab yourself that comfy seat. Just Blame Joey Live starts right now on the Independence Network.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Funny, but it seems I always wind up here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audible Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls. And if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea. But we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot. Well, we'll see how much pot stirring we're going to do today. Good morning out there in Internet Radio Land, and welcome back to the show. Looking forward to taking on the task of helping you get through the rest of your work week as we share some time together on another midweek hump day. It is 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 10th, and it is a windy, rainy, gloomy, gray Wednesday here at Just Blame Joey Live.
kind of looks like, I don't know, living at Eeyore's house out there. We're going to slow it down a little bit, maybe do some mopey music and get the Eeyore feeling going. But hey, slowing down doesn't always hurt. We're going to be playing that rainy day tune all day. Well, many of them this morning, and try to help you get through your midweek malaise. The weather's probably not helping with that too much, and hoping to see that sunshine break through before the hour is up. Either way, you'll still be getting your fill of Cantankerous Commentary with political, social, and civic entertainment, all backed up with facts and data, as is the standard here across the Independence Network, maintaining that standard here at Just Blame Joey Live with news, commentary, entertainment, and even the weather, with 95% of the time being correct 100% of the time. Looking out the window right now, yep, not going to give you a weather report. You can look out your window. It might be a little different, but it is cloudy, windy, and cold, with a little bit of rain coming down here in southern Wyoming, right in the middle of the Platte Valley. But with that, I invite you to tune in and come and sit with the Warriors here at the Independence Network, where the conversation is different. And we did have a different kind of conversation this morning with Mr. David Iverson, coming to you live from the Northern Command studio this morning on the Independence Network. Had another great edition of the morning show, had a little bit of breaking news, which we will get into before the end of our show here today. And the illustrious from high above had some time a little earlier, putting out a new episode of Cowboy State Politics Live just over the past hour. But if you missed any of that content from David Iverson, remember he covers this morning some more Biden administration anti-Semitism, more DC gun grabbing, and who was really in the crowd on January 6th. Plus, Senator Dave Kinski isn't going to be running again in Sheridan. So make sure you're tuning in and catching up with any of that content you may have missed all across the Independence Network as we do replay that full morning schedule starting at 3 p.m. Jailbird Joey behind the mic this morning and grinding out another. It's just icky out there. I like gray days, but man, something about today. It's just real gloomy, but it is another working Wednesday hump day, and we'll be sticking alongside you all day today. And over the next hour, we'll get to some how to vote, not who to vote for here in Wyoming. There's been a lot of questions, concerns about what's going on with our elections, registration, voting. So we'll get into that. That might take up most of the hour. Jailbird Joey's grandiloquent word of the week is on the list if we have time, because we always make room for the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag, and we'll definitely try to get to all that today. Hopefully there's time. While we also enjoy some rainy day tunes here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous. Hope you don't mind, but hey, the weather dictates. We're going to slow it down just a little bit today here on the Independence Network.
You ask me if there'll come a time when I grow tired.
Spend your whole life with me.
little Never My Love by The Association. I guess we're going to call it Eeyore's Jukebox today. I get it. It's just the way I'm feeling looking out the window. Man, I'm tired and it's gray and gloomy. But with that, we're going to get into more of a tutorial style episode of Just Blame Joey Live today. We're going to talk about voting in Wyoming. I'm going to walk through some processes. I have a few notes here, but really just going to kind of try to answer a lot of the questions I've seen, not only coming through the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag, but I've seen comments on Facebook, op-eds, stories, complaints, testimonies in front of the legislature and committees. And I just really want to break down where we're at and what's going on and try to answer some of these questions, or at least point y'all in the right direction. So to vote in Wyoming, we're going to talk about how to vote, not who to vote for here today. And I'm really not going to get into arguing whether I think certain policies are right or wrong. We need to know what is on the table right now, what people need to do. Of course, we have a voter ID law in Wyoming now. It's only a couple years old, and I believe only one election has had that provision enforced. Most people are using driver's licenses, and state ID is used, I think, by about 95% of the voters in Wyoming in order to actually vote when you're at the polls. Or when you register to get your absentee ballot. And I won't even say Wyoming. I'll say Carbon County. I'm on the canvassing board for Carbon County, and I work as either an election judge or a poll watcher. So when you do the canvassing board, you actually look at the poll books and see all the people that came in and picked up a ballot, and there's a portion towards the end for notes, and they did keep track in Carbon County of what type of ID was used. And I'd have to say overwhelmingly people are using their driver's license. Of course, we don't have any official data from the county clerks, the county clerks association, the secretary of state, on how many people used what kind of ID. And there's only 1 year or one voting, or one election cycle's worth of data. So I don't think there's too much of an issue there with actually voting, but the physical act of voting doesn't seem to be the current concern that I'm hearing a lot about. It's voter registration and party affiliation that are very much on the radar based on, you know, what I'm seeing and hearing out there. So let's take a little bit of time this morning. We're going to go through all the steps I could think of, since there's a ton of complaints from all of these civics and voter organizations about a massive lack of effort in informing the public on changes to and the actual voting policies, the laws, and the registration process. And the funny thing about these voter advocacy organizations, civics organizations, they claim to exist exclusively to inform and assist voters in exercising their franchise, yet they really do nothing other than demand the government do all that for them, and they just show up at meetings and complain. I've never once seen a big push or effort for voter education, voter even registration, go out and help voters register. And all of the complaints I hear are things that if you really care and you have an entire organization dedicated to voter awareness and participation, don't ask the government to do it. Get off your butt and, you know, embrace the position you put yourself in, the station you say you occupy. Get out there and do it. Again, if they actually cared about voters being informed, prepared, registered, or participating, they would definitely do more than just complain that the government isn't doing it the way they want it. The county clerks aren't doing enough of it. And the Secretary of State is failing to literally do as little as they do themselves in their little, you know, private organizations and civics groups. So, and of course, when I say they, I'm talking about Gail Simmons from Civility 307 and Marguerite Herman for the League of Women Voters and Shelley Duncan Jr., Rebecca Fitzgerald, and Dan Zwanitzer over at Wyoming Free, who all show up constantly, testify, complain, accuse, but have made no real effort to inform or assist voters themselves from the position that they're in. So yeah, I will name names and point fingers, and I have no problem with that. I've done it in the past, and guess what? I'm going to do it in the future. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that ball that they throw out there, and I'm going to run with it here on Just Blame Joey Live, as we're going to talk through the process together, hopefully get all of you a better idea of what's going on and what needs to happen in order for each and every qualified resident of Wyoming to vote in Wyoming. And we're going to go ahead and get to the details and all that in just a minute. I'm going to give you a one song break to go and grab a pen and paper, as taking notes here might be beneficial. And of course, if you're driving, please don't take notes. The show will be available tomorrow on the Just Blame Joey Live podcast for a re-listen. at a more convenient time for note taking. But take that minute, get prepared. We're going to get into some information and processes here in just a moment. Gave you half of the song from the Hollies. That was Bus Stop from the Hollies, and for some reason the left side of my board just isn't playing today, so you're not getting the full stereo sound, but I guess that's par for the course. Just a dismal day out there. Oh, it's all right, we'll work through it and make it work. Hopefully you got your pen and paper ready. I don't know how much of this you're going to want to write down, but I'm going to try to get you some information. Again, I'm not going to provide a whole lot of commentary on what I think about these processes, just what do you need to know to know that you know. And we're going to start with talking about registering to vote in Wyoming, basically voter registration 101. And the first thing you really need to do is get the voter registration form. The Wyoming Secretary of State website, County Clerk's Office website should have a link to these forms. They're really not difficult. You don't even have to know the website. Just Google it. Wyoming Secretary of State. It's going to be over in elections, whatever county you live in, clerk. And make sure you're looking at the county clerk, not the clerk of courts. And they should have a link to the Wyoming voter registration form. And the thing about the Wyoming voter registration form is it's not just a quick, you know, half a page, put in your information, let's go. It lists all the requirements for the actual registration, not just filling out the form. In order to become registered, you have to have certain types of identification and documentation. It also references the statutes, the law that says this is what needs to happen and why. So you can always know before you go by pulling a copy of that registration form and be prepared when you get there. So the concern that all of these civics organizations and whatever voter appreciation or voter information groups say, well, people just won't know. They'll get there and then they have to drive all the way home. Then they have to drive all the way back. Well, I'm going to help you know. First thing to do, get the form and look at what you're going to need. And we'll get into some more safety tips on knowing that you know and being prepared as we go through this. But some people might be saying, hey, what are you talking about? Why would I need to register? I'm already registered to vote. Well, are you? A lot of people don't know this. But every year, even in non-election years, state statute requires that all the county clerks scrub, or what they call purge, the voter rolls. And that's going to be anybody who has died as confirmed by the Office of Vital Statistics, anybody that has been convicted of a felony and is on the voter rolls. That's going to be through, oh, I don't know, probably the courts and the Department of Corrections. And then also, if you did not vote in the last general election, and this is the one that gets a lot of people, in February, every year they purge, but we don't have an election every year. And a lot of people seem to think, well, I voted for president last time, but that's not every general election. The president is only up for re-election and on your ballot every 4 years. So the way it tends to work in Wyoming is one election, we have a presidential election. The next election is the one you'll see that has the governor, the secretary of state, the treasurer, the superintendent of public instruction, the top five state officials. Let me see. The auditor, Christine. I can't forget Christy Racines. So a lot of people don't know that if the last time you voted was for the president, then you probably have been scrubbed from the rolls in that purge. Other reasons you may need to register, even if you think you're registered or you are actually registered. Did you move? Did you move at all? Not like out of the county. Even if sometimes when you move across the street, and in some precincts, I know in Laramie and Natrona County, you can move next door and be in a completely different precinct. There's different splits for all your different boards, school board, library board, all those other things. But even though the top of your ballot will look the same, legislature, county commissioners, when you get down to the political subdivision you now live in, some of those are different. And if you have moved, sometimes even next door, your in-person voting location, the polling location, may have also changed. So if you have moved at all, it would be a good idea to double check and make sure your registration is current with your current address. You're getting the ballot for the things that concern you and the place that you live. And it's not illegal to not have a current address on your driver's license, but it is illegal to take a ballot for an address you no longer live at. We have the evidence that Dan Zwanitzer did that, absolutely violated the election code. That's voter fraud. And I'm not saying you'll get in trouble. I'm not saying you'll get arrested, prosecuted, any of that. I'm saying it is a violation of the law when you walk in to take a ballot and you take that ballot after they ask you, confirm this address, and you're like, well, it was my old address, but I'm just going to say yes. That's voter fraud. So it's best to err on the side of caution and know that you know and make sure that if you've moved at all, that is taken care of. Also, you don't want to show up to your normal polling location and find out they don't have the ballots for the precinct you actually live in at your old voting location. Another reason, if you never registered, if you're new to Wyoming or you're a young adult that's turning 18 or has turned 18, if you've never registered, you will definitely need to register, and the sooner the better. And let me talk about turning 18. If you're going to be 18 years old by election day, for the primary or by election day in the general, you can register to vote. The documentation you need to bring in order to get your registration done is the same thing that will prove your age to be of legal voting age on that election day. Now, if you're going to be 18 in October, you're not going to be able to vote in the primary in August, even though you're going to be of age in the election year. But don't think that just because you've never registered before or you just turned 18, you can't vote. It's the same process for anything else that happens when you're registering to vote. Or any change of political affiliation. And this one seems to be the big sticking point for registration. You may be registered to vote, but you can no longer change your party affiliation at the polls the day of the election. And we're going to get into all of that crossover voting stuff. But there's some of the basic reasons why you would need to register. And some people don't even know that they would need to register, re-register, or update their registration. So let's see what else we got here. All right, let's just get into the crossover voting. Change in party affiliation must be done by May 15th. By the time the filing period opens for candidates to officially become candidates by registering with the Secretary of State's office, whatever political party you're registered in is the political party you're registered in. And we're going to throw a few examples of what ifs out there. But the bottom line is the change of affiliation must be done by May 15th. Now, if you find out you're not registered to vote after May 15th, you can still register to vote. There's nothing saying you cannot vote just because you didn't register by May 15th. But if you've been registered in Wyoming before, your voter registration, re-registration, is going to put you in the same party that you were registered in before, and you won't be able to change that until after the primary. And that's going to be through documentation they have in the Central Wyoming Voter Registration. It's called WyoReg, and they'll confirm that. If you're a new registrator or a new registrant, you've never registered to vote in Wyoming before, they confirm that you're not currently registered to vote in any other state. I do believe new voter registrations can their party affiliation. But again, there's not a whole lot of clear language in law on that. So, you know, don't take me to court on it if it's not that way. I would believe that one of the big arguments the clerks had is, how are we dealing with new registrations? So This is a new law that passed last year, I believe. And there's just a timeline, and it only affects party affiliation with your registration. But the peripheral issues that come with that is a lot of people don't know when they're not registered. A lot of people don't re-register or update their registration when they move, and they assume they can do it all on the day of the election at the polling place. And some of that's true and some of that's not, but it's better, like I said, to be prepared and know that you know going in. There's been a lot of talk about proving your residency and being a bona fide or certified resident. Secretary of State Chuck Gray has recommended some rule changes. I haven't seen any of those become official yet. I haven't seen them issued by the Secretary of State, approved by the governor, or transmitted to the clerks. The there was a durational residency bill in the Senate that failed on introduction, which was really interesting because all it did was use the same language that's currently in statute, but didn't define it, specifically the term bona fide Wyoming resident or a way to prove your Wyoming residency. It just kept using the same old words and added a requirement for 30 days. You have to live in Wyoming for 30 days. Well, how do you prove that? They don't say, and they also don't define bona fide resident. So I think that was a bad bill anyway. You know, the term bona fide resident still on the books, but there's no way of either proving or defining any of that. But you look at that form. If you pull that voter registration form, there is a requirement of proof of residence. And a lot of people say, well, you know, some people, the homeless people, the this, that, and the other. Well, the associated documents that prove your residence, I don't think actually prove your residency. It just means you're currently in Wyoming. But it does help define which ballot you should get. What precinct are you claiming or actually living in? This could have a great impact, not only on local races, but we've seen some of these legislative races. I think Anthony Bouchard won his last seat by one or two votes. I know a lot of these other races have been close enough to trigger a recall. Alan Slagle and J.D. Williams, when they went head-to-head in 2022, that was a dozen votes. So yeah, a few votes in the wrong precinct, the wrong area, or the wrong district could definitely throw an election, which is why I think proving your residential address is so important, and we need to fix the rules about what does bona fide resident mean. How long do you have to live here? And then when it comes down to all this, you got your voter registration form, you know what documents you need to bring, you have everything ready to go, you know before you go. You need to know where you can register. And most town halls in Wyoming, if you go to them, they will accept your voter registration and they will transmit it to the clerk. I believe they have to transmit it physically. They can't send it electronically. I don't know that that's totally true, but the associated documents with that will help the clerk process your registration. But you also don't know that it's happening until it's done and you're hoping it gets, and there's a time lag. It's got to be couriered from your town clerk's office all the way to the county clerk's office. And if you're waiting till the last minute, that may not happen at time, especially if you want an absentee ballot. But you can always go to the county clerk's office if you happen to be in your county seat, and the office there will let you know what you need to do. But it always helps to know before you go. And I would say definitely call your county clerk, and we'll get into some of the reasons for that. But a lot of people are worried that, oh, I won't be able to register at the polls. And it's not that you won't. It's that it's not only terribly difficult and you may not have all the information on hand at the time you want to register, but it also slows down the voting process for the election judges who are trying, especially with that lunchtime rush, trying to get other people's processed. And I'm not saying you don't have the right to vote. I'm not saying I'm going to demonize you for being unaware or unprepared. I'm saying you're going to have to stand there with that line of people staring at you like, really, dude, you didn't care enough to vote to figure this out. Now I've got to waste another 10 minutes of my lunch break, which is already taken up with voting, to have you catch up or throw a fit because you don't know what's going on. You want to change your party affiliation at the last minute. A little common courtesy there. So I'm going to look at some more of the voting in Wyoming processes and rules here in just a second. Got a couple of emails coming to the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag I'll also be taking a look at. I'm going to jump back into a little bit of that Eeyore's Jukebox Gloomy Day music, and we'll be right back with you. A little more Wyoming Votes 101 here on Just Blame Joey Live. Little bit of the left bank there with Walk Away Renee, getting some biological mailbag submissions asking about the music. Kind of sad today. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not going to read that one in entirety, but basically music is so sad today. What gives? You know, I don't know. It's kind of gloomy outside. I did it in the introduction calling it the Eeyore's jukebox, but you know, the question always is, am I sad when it starts raining, or is it raining because I'm sad? Well, not me. I don't care about feelings, but yeah, it's just that kind of day. Definitely a grilled cheese and tomato soup kind of day. I actually have some chicken corn chowder in the crock pot ready to go for right after the show. So hopefully you're taking care of yourself on this kind of gloomy and windy hump day. Starting to see a little sun creep out. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Maybe lighten it up before the end of the show. But back to voting in Wyoming. We talked about registration, and I'll recap all of that in before we close this out. But when you actually go to vote, how do you vote in Wyoming? You're registered. There's a couple different options. My preferred option, I wish this was pushed a lot more, is voting in person at the polls, as it's very easy to vote in person at the polls if you're already registered and do not intend to make any changes to your registration. However, like I said before we went to the last music break, registering at the polls or making changes can be problematic if you don't have all the proper documentation, identification, and think that you'll be able to switch parties at the polls, which you now can't based on state law. It's best to know that you are registered in that proper party that you want to vote in during the primary and at the current residence that you live at right now before the 10th of May. The deadline is the 15th, but shoot for the 10th, I would say. This is my advice. Just in case there's issues in gathering documents, processing your registration change at the clerk's office, or transmitting it from the town clerk to the county clerk, or sometimes, you know, just contacting your clerk's office or elections director could be problematic because they have other meetings, they have other duties. I know here in Carbon County, they do rural satellite operations where the elections portion or different portions of the clerk's office will go down to the Snake River Valley down in bags and make sure people have the opportunity to license and title vehicles, register to vote. So they're not always in the office. And just because you have a need right now and you procrastinated doesn't mean the person that's there could help you. And you definitely want to get a head start on that. Like I said, the cutoff date for those registrations is going to be the 15th if you want to change your party affiliation. The rest of the time, you're a brand new registrant. You can register anytime you want. You fell off the voter rolls. You can re-register. You just can't change your party affiliation after the 15th of May. You can also vote absentee. Absolutely, I am not a fan of this, the way it's used currently. I like the fact that, you know, we're an energy extraction, oil and gas type of state here. And we have a lot of professionals, engineers, oil field workers, refinery workers who don't always work in the state. A lot of people go overseas for that kind of work because of their expertise. A lot of people go to other states because of their experience in it, but they're still Wyoming residents, at least for now, until we define that a little better. I don't know if it's where you live, where you sleep, where you own a house, still up in the air, undefined by law, but also our military veterans. We have a lot of people overseas. I served overseas for a lot of years. There's a special way that they can vote because they can't always fill out a paper ballot and send that ballot the proper way back to the clerk or in time. So there's a lot of provisions that I do believe in, but it's gotten to the point now where I'm too lazy to get off my butt and vote to prepare to actually vote in person or to engage and invest in my franchise of being able to vote. So now everybody under the sun and their mother wants to use this absentee process because, like you hear me say before, we're not even willing to be inconvenienced or uncomfortable anymore. Everything just has to be so easy that it's automatic. I kind of disagree with that posture, of course. And then we see other issues, assisted living facilities, retirement centers, where all of a sudden everybody's registered to vote, even if they haven't, you know, spoken a word or been able to interact with people in a lucid manner for years. These people are voting. And it is okay to assist an individual with voting. It's not okay to register them, then take their ballot, vote it for them, and then turn it in. So, not a huge fan of absentee balloting, especially right now. We're looking here in Wyoming, losing our postal processing centers in Casper and Cheyenne. So that's going to extend the time it takes to get that absentee ballot back to your clerk to meet the deadline for it to be counted properly. Many counties do have drop boxes for ballots, which I'm proposing that we change. And well, first of all, there's nothing in law restricting or regulating the drop boxes themselves. The reason why the drop boxes have certain regulations is because the ballots have regulations. So there has to be certain security measures. I'm not totally convinced that those security measures are adequate for outdoor drop boxes, even if there's a camera on them all the time. But since the town halls can take all of your voter registrations and transmit them to the county clerk, I think it might be viable, the middle ground, which you don't hear me talk about going to a lot, to say, hey, you can also drop off your absentee ballot at the town hall and they will get that to the clerk as long as it's received by a certain date. I think it'd be much more secure. I don't know that it would improve the concerns about the integrity of the absentee voting system, but I would feel a whole lot better about that than a drop box outside of a building that you can just walk into and vote. Most of the time they're at the county courthouse or randomly scattered throughout public places, which gives me more concern about their security. But here in Carbon County, we have one drop box. It's on the backside of the building. You would just walk upstairs to go vote in person anyway. So I understand the answer I've gotten for its existence. I just don't see the benefit or the purpose, especially considering more than just ballots go in there. Any communications that are being sent to the county clerk or, you know, any of the county offices can also go in that drop box. So it's not purely just ballots that are going in there. And I always use the example of I could walk up with a bottle of, you know, acetone and pour it in there and spoil every ballot, every piece of paper in there. And you would have no way of knowing whose ballot I ruined, contacting them and saying, hey, we need to reissue your ballot. You better not have a way. We have that expectation of privacy and the Voter Privacy Act. So, or you could just, you know, pour that acetone in there and light a match. There's nothing stopping that. Yes, it's illegal. Yes, you could be prosecuted, but those ballots are still lost. And I do have some concern about that. Another way of voting here in Wyoming is called early in-person voting. You do that at your clerk's office, your county clerk's office. This is how I do it. This is how I usually vote, as most of the time I'm either an election judge or a poll watcher. And I've sat on the county canvassing board before, so I tend to be pretty busy on election day. And my polling location is not the polling location I'm normally assigned to be a poll watcher or an election judge. So on that election day, to drive halfway across the county just to cast my vote in person, for me, it's okay to do it because I'm doing it at the county clerk's office in person, and all of the questions, concerns are dealt with right there. Let's see. And you can only do that during the 20-day voting period of the absentee voting. It used to be 45. Now we have a 20-day absentee voting period, and that's when you can go to the clerk's office, request your ballot, vote your ballot, and hand your ballot over to the clerk. It's processed as an absentee ballot. No postal service involved, no Dropbox involved, and you can confirm that your ballot has been received because you're standing there giving it to them, and they're marking the list. I know here in Carbon County, Lisa Smith has a constantly updated list of how many absentee ballots are out there and which ones have come back, precinct by precinct. It's very well organized, and that's the way I prefer to vote. If I wasn't an election judge or a poll watcher, I would definitely go vote at the polls in person and be fully prepared to do so well in advance, knowing my registration is good, it's current, it's proper and appropriate with my current living address, my residence, and the political party affiliation that I'm choosing to be a member of. Obviously, mine doesn't change all that much very often. And there's a lot more to all of this, and I'm sure that I didn't cover everything, and there's possibly the reality that I left some details under-explained or not completely accurate due to the reality that there's policies, procedures, and rules that could vary slightly county to county. Some counties have centralized voting centers. Some counties have electronic poll books. So there are some processes that are a little different depending on your county. And you can hold me as accountable as you want. And I'm sure that some of you have individual questions on your specific situations, concerns, your registration. And I'd be happy to answer those. You want to send an email to joey@justblamejoey.com, or you can hit me up on Facebook Messenger. But if you really want to know what's going on with your registration status and the process that your county is going to, you know, initiate for election day, absentee voting, registration, changing your party affiliation, any of your voting options, you want to know any about that, ID requirements, call your county clerk. Ask for the elections director or the clerk themselves. They do work for you. You pay them with your tax dollars, and this is their job. Just remember, you know, I'm not saying that one phone call will fix all of your issues. You may have to go into the county clerk's office. You may have to fill out some forms. You may have to provide some documentation if you need to register, re-register, change something in your registry. But at least you'll know that you know. You call them and say, hey, this is me. I need to know if there's a problem with my registration. I don't know if they're going to give you the information over the phone. You call your clerk, find out what you need to do, and do it soon. Not everybody is as blessed as I am to live in Carbon County and have a clerk like Gwen Bartlett and an elections director like Lisa Smith, who are awesome, knowledgeable, personal, and extremely dedicated and effective to making sure that the people's concerns are being handled and that they have all the opportunity they need to be informed well in advance. But whoever your clerk is, they have a job to do. Mine just happens to do it really well. And part of that job is helping to ensure that your registration is straight and your voting options are known. But they also, like I said before, they have tons of other duties. The clerk's office doesn't exist just for elections. They have an elections department, an elections division in the clerk's office. So make sure that if you're going to make that call today. Make that call this week. Make that call as soon as possible to your county clerk. Don't wait or put them in a time crunch, and try to avoid putting your registration issues on the election workers at the polls, because a lot of the times that's where the frustration sets in and people say, I didn't get to vote. Well, you didn't get to vote because you weren't proactive. You didn't check your registration. I check my registration at least every 6 months. No, I don't move. No, I don't change party affiliation. But I do know that sometimes there's updates to the system. And every February, there's a purge. So I double check and I know that I know. So know that you know. Be prepared. Work with your clerk in a timely and respectful manner. You only have a month from now until that period for party affiliation changes closes out. And with elections coming, you have to realize that they're going to be busy. So the sooner you contact them, the better. Now, everybody thinks, well, elections aren't until August. Yeah, but with the filing period coming up, they have X amount of days to prepare the ballots. Before that, they have to set up all the training for their election judges. You know, they start working elections a good 6 to 7 months in advance, and it may not be constant all day, everyday work, but there are other duties that they're involved with there in the clerk's office. And you don't want to be in a position where you causing a time crunch by not being prepared causes, you know, a feeling of being slighted. Nobody wants to take your right to vote away from you, but it's also a responsibility to make sure you can vote in an effective and efficient manner by knowing that you know. So for now, I'm just going to leave that there for a few minutes, taking a look at the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. And yeah, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, so we'll go ahead and jump to that. Let me see what we got here. Okay, not going to do any of the music. We will go right into, okay, Mark from Cheyenne. He's been writing us pretty regularly lately. Jailbird Joey, did you hear that Kale Case is calling for a special session to address the wolf issue? I just got an email from a friend showing his communication with other legislators asking for a special session. I think he is one of the problems in the legislature, and he was completely against the earlier call for a special session to address vetoes. But now he's demanding a special session to address wolves. Would you agree that this is a problem from Mark and Cheyenne? Well, Mark and Cheyenne, to start out, anytime we bring up Kale Case, we got to do what we got to do.
Nancy, Nancy, Nancy.
This is a good deal for Wyoming.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
So I definitely believe that we need new taxes.
Nancy.
We need to consider income taxes.
Nancy.
I think it's a misinterpretation of the word or.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
You do a lot of anecdotal things, sir.
Nancy.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, I think we're done too, Mr. Senator Case. Well, let's see, Mark, I have the screenshot from the email old Nancy sent you there, and looks like, okay, let me read what it actually says. There's an email from Representative Sandy Newsom that says, "Greetings all. I know many of you have heard about the wolf abuse issue in Daniel, Wyoming. Senator Schuler and I will have Director Nesvik give a report at our joint TRW, that's the Travel or Tourism Recreation Wildlife meeting, on May 14th. The update on wolf management will be listed in our agenda and will take place around 11 a.m. Thank you. And then there's a reply from Senator Kale Case that says, "Is anyone thinking special session? Question mark." So I see a question there, Mark from Cheyenne. I don't see any demand or endorsement of a special session, but knowing Nancy Case as I do, he would be able to wriggle out of any claim of his hypocrisy or suggestion of a special session or, I don't know, support of a special session. As in this email that you sent me, all he did was ask the question without any opining on the merits or his own interest in it. He said, "Is anybody thinking special session?" He could always say, "Hey, I was doing that, you know, defensively to make sure that that's not the area or the lane we were trying to go down." So I don't know that that one sentence is a damnation of Kale Case. yeah. But this is a perfect example, regardless of, you know, what the intent of Nancy Case was there. An example of the Wyoming legislature being reactive and waiting for an issue to come up before they address any of their unclear or poorly defined laws that it's their responsibility to address. It's the, you know, "We have enough laws on that already," or "It's not happening here in Wyoming" riff that we hear all of the time, and proof that the Redcoats use that argument to demonize the conservatives who are trying to be proactive. And you know, they're just playing a game and playing it wrong when they do that and say, "Oh no, it's not happening here in Wyoming." examples of that. And I know he's not in the legislature, but Governor Gordon, when he vetoed the Infant Born Alive Means of Care Act, his veto message said, "We, you know, basically, we have enough laws protecting babies here in Wyoming. We don't need any extra ones. Hey, that's not happening here." Yeah, yeah, it is. And it doesn't matter because the fundamental principles you said you believed in said you should have been proactive on that. This last year in the legislative session, arguments against Chloe's Law, House Bill 125, the What is a Woman Act. Oh, these aren't important because this isn't even really happening in Wyoming and it never will. Well, then put it on paper and make it clearly defined. So I don't know, Mark, if it turns out that this becomes a legitimate discussion, a special session regarding wolves, well, it's going to have the same issues that the Redcoats complained about when they voted against the special session to address vetoes. Everything is going to be on the table. It'll still cost money. A runaway session is absolutely possible. And it's likely really an issue for the 2025 general session. And also the governor could still veto it, anything they do in special session. So all the excuses they gave that had nothing to do with the content of the bills that they were talking about. Oh, it's going to cost too much money, blah, blah, blah. Those are all the same reasons they have to stick to not even consider a special session for wolves, because they apply equally. Otherwise, I believe they're hypocrites, but they'd be showing their hypocrisy so clearly. I don't know if a lot of them could recover, especially not in an election year. As far as the wolves issue go, I pointed out on the morning show, I believe the morning show yesterday, and maybe even a little bit on my show yesterday, that the statute that should be pursued in this issue is one of destruction of state property over $1,000 or theft of state property over $1,000, which would be a felony in the state of Wyoming. Title 23 clearly states that all wildlife in the state of Wyoming is the property of the state of Wyoming. And if the prosecutors up there in Sublette County would pursue that charge instead of just animal cruelty, or I believe this guy should also get a reckless endangerment charge, firing the gun right outside a bar out in public. that's a charge I'm familiar with, and I think it should be applied more equally at very least. But I think that would be very appropriate as it already exists in statute. The state owns this wildlife. You stole and then killed state property. And that might help calm everything down a little and then address any expansion or changes or clearer definition to the existing poorly written law next session. But that's just, you know, that's my opinion. And ultimately, you know, I wouldn't put it past old Nancy Case to try and rig something that is completely hypocritical. I wouldn't be surprised if he does come out for a special session. He just hasn't yet. I wouldn't pin it on him based on that one sentence. And we'll have to wait and see what happens here. And I guess in the meantime, we'll just fix all of our problems and our worries with a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
My favorite sandwich in grade school, you'll think this isn't relevant, peanut butter sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly. Love peanut butter and jelly.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah, way yeah, way yeah, way yeah. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Do the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
I can't resist. Yeah, bring up Nancy Case. You're going to hear both of those every time. So Mark out there in Cheyenne, I don't know. I wouldn't go off half-cocked on that one yet. I know David Iverson talked about it. That actually came into us as we were doing the morning show this morning. And right now I'm not seeing a whole lot that's actionable, but a lot of people already have their well-defined postures on Nancy Case set. So I don't know if this would add to it that much. Just think about it, but we'll have to keep an eye on that. Gonna take a, oh, look at that. There's some sun creeping through the clouds there. The rain has stopped. We're gonna get a little sunny here for a minute. When we get back, we'll run out the show and send you on into the rest of your day right here on the Independence Network.
Sunny. Yesterday, my life was filled with rain. Sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, Thank you for the sunshine you give, sunny. Thank you for the love you brought my way. You gave to me your all in all, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny one so true, I love you. Sunny, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sunny, thank you for the facts from A to Z. My life was torn like windblown sand, then a rock was formed when we held.
Little Bobby Hebb with Sunny. We've got some sunshine going on. Day is looking up as we're sliding into the noon hour. Second half of the midday of your work week, heading towards that weekend. And we are going to head on out of here in just a second. Remember, the Hair Affair with Christine is coming up right after Paul Harvey. And then we'll have some Crosstalk Live after that today, replaying our entire morning schedule at 3 p.m. So make sure you stay up to date with everything going on here at the Independence Network. And don't forget, I couldn't stress enough. You can disagree with me if you want. You can argue that I didn't talk about certain things with voting, voter registration. You can say I'm wrong. I tried not to talk about the merits of the process, just explain the process and what I see and what I read. But the answer is call your clerk. Make sure you're registered. Find out if there's any discrepancies in your registration. And especially if you want to change party affiliation, get that done. Try to get that done today. This week, give them time to make sure that they can, you know, capacitate your request and do so without causing too much stress on anybody. You got until the 15th to get it done, but that doesn't mean you should wait until the end of this week to even get it started. So with that, I'm sure we'll have plenty of talk about upcoming elections, candidates, and the voting process here in the future on the Independence Network. So stick around. And if you got any comments, complaints, questions, concerns, or critiques, send them to Joey at justblamejoey.com. And I'll be happy to read those on the air, get you an answer, and take care of you. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Just Blame Joey Live.
And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey. And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey.
Just Blame Joey Live is a production of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.